love how our teachers and our staff welcome the children of the community among them. They live out today's scripture, "Let the children come to me." They do not stand in God's way as they work ministering in his name. And the Bible expresses God's great concern and value for his children. And in today's scripture reading, Jesus, God incarnate, God in flesh, rebukes his scolding disciples. And he tells them to let the children come. So if you haven't done so already, I invite you to open your Bibles to today's portion of scripture. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you, you'll find one in front of you in the pew. Just open it up to the second half of the Bible, and we'll go into Mark chapter 10. And you'll find the smaller numbers are the verses, and we'll look at verses 13 to 16. And as Zach said earlier, you'll find it on page 1506. Mark 10, 13 to 16, page 1506. On several occasions, Jesus has already spoken of children and of little ones. At this point, he is now instructing his disciples, his followers, to learn about kingdom values. In God's kingdom, he says, value is not placed on greatness. In other words, greatness defined in human terms. So it's not based on money, it's not based on fame or education or status per se. It is placed on service. It's placed on humility, welcoming the weak, and protecting the vulnerable. At this point in today's reading, the disciples try to stop people wanting their children from being blessed. And you'll find that in verse 13 today. And the Bible says the disciples rebuke them. Well, rebuke means to chide or to admonish or to warn. And it has a sense that there is some kind of correction in the interaction. So the disciples were probably saying, you know, don't bother the teacher right now. He's a pretty important guy. He's got important things to do. Can you wait for another moment? You know, you don't really belong here. This is for important people, the older people. This is for us. There's important things being discussed here. The disciples are still concerned about keeping people away from Jesus, and they are still more exclusive rather than inclusive. And the fact that they are actively trying to keep children of all people away from Jesus shows just how little they really understand who this person is. And Jesus' response, well, if you look into that, he's indignant with his disciples, as he has been rather indignant often on this journey. He says, guys, what are you doing? Get out of the way. You're blocking the kids from coming to me. Let them come. Let the children come, he says. And he instructs his disciples to just move. And when the children come, Jesus embraces them and he blesses them. Now this is an act of loving acceptance. It's an object lesson on upside down or inverted values of God's kingdom. This challenge of this text is to understand verses 14 and 15. And let's just take a look at those verses if you have your Bible open. God's reign belongs to such as these. You'll see that in the latter half of verse 14. What characteristics of children are in focus here? That's a good question. It's clearly not their age. For Mark believes adults too can enter the kingdom. And is the focus then on their humility or their openness to Jesus? Or is it their ability to embrace Jesus without reservation? Or their lack of status and rights, perhaps. Now that opens things up for us then, if it's any of those. What Jesus is saying then is that all are welcome into relationship with him. No one should stand between God and people such as these. In other words, those who are vulnerable or powerless or without status. Children were people such as these. But so were the women. So were the widowed, those who were homeless. And the refugee, the foreigner, the leper, those who were sick and demon-possessed. Jesus isn't only for the religious or the learned or the rich and the powerful, those who are just normal. He's for all. And he's not even only for those who are considered good. Jesus is here for all who come to him, he says. And the next question to ask is, well, what does it mean to receive the kingdom as a child? Just check out verse 15 there. What does it mean to receive the kingdom as a child? I like how Frederick Buechner puts it. He's one of my favorite authors and pastors. He said this, when Jesus said, "Let the children come to me," he was not being sentimental. He was saying that the people who get into heaven are people who, like children, don't worry about it too much. They are people who, like children, live with their hands open more than with their fists clenched. There are people who, like children, are so relatively unburdened by preconceptions that if somebody says there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, they are perfectly willing to go and take a look for themselves. Now, children aren't necessarily better than other people, he writes. Like the child in the Emperor's New Clothes, if you recall that little story, they're just apt to be better at telling the differences between a phony and the real thing. So the question is, what does it mean to receive the kingdom as a child? Is it receiving as one receives a child with open arms? Do we value the experience of the kingdom the way a mother or father receives a newborn into their hands? Or how about the way we receive a favorite grandchild or a nephew or a niece or perhaps even our own children, maybe a neighbor's child on a good day? Does receiving the kingdom as a child mean receiving as children receive it? In other words, without reservations. No hesitation, no questions, no critiquing, just joyful acceptance. Joy in the having. Does receiving the kingdom mean as children receive it without reservations? Or is it receiving it by becoming childlike? In other words, without status or without rights. Under the law here in Canada, when you're a child, you don't have that many rights in terms of being able to vote, having access to certain privileges, like driving, or access to other substances, like alcohol. Or is receiving it like a child means receiving it when it comes like a child? When it comes like a child, eager for our acceptance. I wonder if the answer isn't just one of the above, or perhaps all of the above. I just want to close by sharing this article by a writer by the name of Sharon Harding. She's a contributor to The Community. Dear Parents with Young Children in Church. Dear parents with children, young children in church, you are doing something really, really important. I know it's not easy. I see you with your arms overflowing, and I know you came to church already tired. Parenting is really tired for those of us who have parented, or uncled, or aunted, or big-sistered, or big-brothered. It's really tiring. I watch you bounce and sway, trying to keep your baby quiet, juggling the infant car seat and the diaper bag as you find a seat. I see you wince as your child cries. I see you anxiously pull things out of your bag of tricks to try to quiet them. I see you with your toddler and your preschooler. I watch you cringe when your little girl asks an innocent question in a voice that might not be an inside voice, let alone a church whisper. I hear the exasperation in your voice as you beg your child to just sit, be quiet, as you feel everyone's eyes on you. Not everyone is looking, but I know it feels that way. I know you're wondering, is this worth it? Why do I bother? I know you often leave church more exhausted than fulfilled. But what you're doing is so, so terribly important. And this part is not exclusive to parents with small children, but those who are people such as these. When you are here, the church is filled with a joyful noise. When you are here, the body of Christ is more fully present. When you are here, we are reminded that this worship thing we do isn't only about Bible study, per se, or only personal and quiet contemplation time. It is those, but it's not solely about that. It's also about coming together to worship as a community where all are welcome, where we share in the word and sacrament together. When you are here, I have hope that these pews won't be empty in 10 years. when your kids are old enough to sit quietly and behave in worship. I know that they are learning how and why we worship now, before it's too late. And they are learning that worship of our Creator is important. I see them learning. In the midst of the cries and the whines and the giggles, in the midst of the crinkling of pretzel bags and the growing pile of crumbs sometimes, I see a little girl who insists on going up two pews to share the peace with someone that they don't know. I watch a child excitedly color a cross and point to the one in the front of the sanctuary built by Irv here. And I hear the echoes of amens just a few seconds after the rest of the community says it together. And I watch a boy just learning to read, maybe even my own James, trying to sound out the words in the worship book or count his way to hymn number 672. And even on weeks when I can't see my own children learning because, well, it's one of those mornings, I can see your children learning. I know how hard it is to do what you're doing, but I want you to know it matters. It matters to me. It matters to my children to not be alone in the pew. And even on those weeks when you can't see the little moments, it matters to your children too. It matters that they learn that worship is what we do as a community of faith, that everyone is welcome, and that their worship matters. When we teach children that their worship matters, we teach them that they are enough. Right here, right now, as members of this church community, they don't need to wait until they can believe or pray or worship a certain way to be welcome here. And I know adults who are still looking to be shown that. Jesus said, "Let the little children come. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom belongs to such as these." It matters that all people learn that they are an integral part of this faith community, that their prayers, their songs, and even their badly or perfectly timed, depending on who you ask, their badly or perfectly timed cries and whines are a joyful noise because it means that they are present, that they're here. I know it's hard, but thank you for what you do when you bring your children to church. Please know that your family, our families, with all of its noise and struggle and commotion and joy, are not simply tolerated, but you and we are a vital part of the community gathered in worship. Finally, let's commit, brothers and sisters, Killarney Park, let's commit to not being barriers between Jesus and others. Let's be like our preschool teachers who warmly welcome all who enter. Second, Jesus wants us to come to him as children. He wants us to accept him with open arms, without reservations, without a sense of entitlement or self-righteousness, understanding that we truly have no status or rights when it comes to grace. And perhaps most importantly, we need to understand that Jesus comes seeking us out, eager to accept him. Thanks be to God. Amen.